Bloomberg Daybreak Europe, weekday mornings at 6 a.m. on London DAB digital radio and on demand via the Bloomberg Business app and BloombergRadio.com.
Two people who we are looking very keen to talk to about this. We've got Marcus Ashworth, the man with opinions on everything from the price of Big Macs to bond yields, and Therese Raphael, our politically plugged in opinion editor, with us as well. Thank you to you both for being with us. Marcus, look, this is, you know, the Ofgem news just adding to the broader inflation picture. Does the Bank of England really have any options today? If it doesn't go 50 basis points, is that going to be a huge disappointment for the markets?
I have to say it would be. It would be almost as bad as the head fake they gave us in November last year, which was probably more important that they got it right. They didn't. They got it spectacularly wrong because it was the first move and they delayed it nonsensically for 6 weeks and kept quantitative easing going. So that shook the entire world, actually. That even moved the US bond market substantially, and Europe as well. So that was a real calamitous event for their credibility. This would be an equal one, perhaps, but more confirmatory rather than revelatory. I cannot see how they cannot go 50 basis points. If they do go 25, it must and only be because they've got very serious worries about the economy. And they'll have to make that very clear. There's also a quarterly monetary policy review. We get their, you know, forecasts out to 3 years and a whole bunch of fan charts and exciting stuff like that. But if within that they see something that no one else has spotted of like calamitous economic collapse right here, right now, then and they make it very clear why they're doing it. Other than that, I think the market would react very poorly.
Okay, Therese, good morning. Thanks for being with us.
Good morning.
Can the Conservatives tackle these sorts of inflationary price pressures for voters and then kind of keep hold of their reputation for fiscal responsibility? I mean, I was struck. Did you read Sajid Javid in the Times newspaper yesterday evening? Only by getting back to growth, you know, to pre-financial crisis levels, can we hope to support the high quality public services people rightly expect. I thought it was quite, you know, it was quite a hard argument, I thought, that Sajid Javid was making for fiscal responsibility.
Yeah, I mean, it's also quite remarkable that he's critiquing, you know, a big state, high tax, low growth sort of social democratic model that Britain's headed toward. Well, you know, which party has been in power for the last decade? But, you know, never mind. This is a battle to be the next Tory leader. The electorate that is voting tends to be, you know, to the right of the Conservative Party. So that's what Sajid Javid, that's what the, you know, and Liz Truss are appealing to. Look, I think it's going to be really hard under the Truss economic plan to, you know, keep the Tory reputation for fiscal responsibility intact. And it's going to make the Bank of England's job a lot harder as well. I mean, she's promising increased defense spending, immediate tax cuts, high-speed rail links, social care funded out of general taxation. It's a huge policy blitz, and the argument that she's made is one that, you know, as Nigel Lawson wrote in the Telegraph, Margaret Thatcher's longest-serving chancellor, it's an argument that we heard also in the 1970s, that you can use fiscal policy to create demand and spark investment, and that will lead to the supply-side expansion. And, you know, it doesn't always work that way. And I think that's the danger, is that the Tories under a Prime Minister Truss will embark on this, you know, this spending blitz. I think a Times analysis put it at an £80 billion cost to taxpayers, and be rewarded with more inflation. And, you know, that will be a very hard sell when it comes to the next election if the result is that, you know, a large number of British consumers find it hard to, you know, make ends meet. And I think that's, you know, that's the real balance here. I mean, obviously, Sunak also has a case to answer for, in that, you know, his path of fiscal responsibility, you know, how does that get Britain out of a recession? How does that create the growth that, you know, he has rightly said Britain needs in the end? But yeah, I mean, they need to disinflate and be fiscally responsible and create growth in the face of a lot of exogenous, you know, global factors that we've been talking about.
Marcus, how worried will Andrew Bailey and his colleagues be on Threadneedle Street about the prospect of what the Tory leadership candidates are promising?
Well, quite worried, and they need to be worried about their own performance. I don't have any sympathy for the Bank of England when they try and dodge their responsibility for creating a lot of this inflation. It's not all their responsibility, but it's certainly quite a decent chunk is. They absolutely should not have continued with quantitative easing past June last year. Their chief economist essentially resigned over it, Haldane. He was spot on. They were talking about negative rates only a year and a half ago. Madness. But nonetheless, they have some mandate issues of their own they need to probably have a look at. But as far as fiscal stimulus is concerned, this is actually excellent news for the Bank of England, because they were getting very worried and they sent a lot of bat signals up in the May, last quarter's, therefore, monetary policy review, that they were worried about recession hitting. Straight right after that, you got Sunak doing another big 21 billion odd fiscal stimulus push. And that took the risk away, the Bank of England, I think, from being blamed for any recession. And we know that what's coming at the next emergency budget or proper budget, probably in October, will be a lot more fiscal stimulus, particularly if it's Liz Truss. So in that context, that makes their life quite easy. They can hike here 50 basis points. They don't have to worry too much about doing another 50. They can if they want to. But the point is that they will not be blamed for the recession if it does come, or economic downturn being too sharp. And they can get ahead with doing their actual proper job, which is getting hold of inflation. I still don't think they'll hike much below above 2.5, but we've got another 3 rate hikes after this one, probably into the back end of the year, 25, 3 times 25, I would guess, and they probably stay. But it makes their life much more comfortable.
Yeah, absolutely. Stephen Major, HSBC, spoke to us earlier this morning. He was of that same view. I said 275 by the end of the year, and he said no, somewhere between where we are now and 275. Wouldn't be pinned down any further than that. Yeah, so you're in agreement with that, which is quite interesting. So we're speaking to Marcus Ashworth and Therese Raphael, if you're just tuning in. It's 9:17 here on Bloomberg Radio. Therese, in terms of the political battle, is the next election actually going to be fought over pay? Again, the kind of inflation issue, rather than public services?
I mean, I think the next election will be fought over whether people feel their lives have improved or not and who they blame for that. And, one of the interesting things about this leadership campaign is how little real talk there's been about leveling up and public services generally. That's obviously because the candidates, are speaking to Tory party members, and that's not foremost in their minds. So we're hearing a lot of talks about tax cuts and issues that are really sort of front and center for that electorate. But, I think the rest of the country is also watching. And so this is quite dangerous. Liz Truss proposed, but then quickly backtracked on a plan to differentiate public sector pay by region. I think that's a debate the country needs to have, because those pay scales are currently set nationally. It's very true that you have regions where public sector pay is completely out of line with what the private sector is offering, and that can be quite distortive. It's a tough argument to have with the unions. That's the problem. So that there's a trade union markup right now on wages in parts of the country, and it's a political battle that she quickly backed off of.
Yeah, I mean, I also thought it was fascinating because, the last decade in the UK has been marked by this idea of, if you ship out big businesses, big chunks of government departments, you can help to level up. It's difficult if you then tell people that you're going to slash their pay once they've, moved to Leeds, as one government department has done. But anyway, Stephen.
Yeah, politically, it's a very tough argument to make. Over time, they have to ask the question of, is it squeezing out investment in the private sector? What is it doing to finances and the budget? Is it affordable? But that's not a conversation that she can, really have 2 years out from an election at all. And she'd need to explain exactly how they would do it in a fair way, inconsistent with the leveling up agenda. And clearly they hadn't thought that out.
Marcus, no matter who wins this, are they inheriting a mess when it comes to the economic challenges? I mean, that move by Ofgem now for four changes to the energy cap, that's going to make the inflation picture a bit messier come towards the end of the year.
It's the trilemma because essentially, Rishi Sunak if he was presented with Liz Truss's sort of wonder bag of lovelies, would have wanted them and said yes, he'd do all these things if he'd chosen them 3 years ago. He's got himself in a hole of his own making, and we can blame Boris Johnson for this, and I'm sure he will. But the point is that, as Sajid Javid pointed out, it's heading towards a low-growth, high-tax economy. And in essence, this is due to the decisions that Rishi Sunak has made, right or wrongly, but that's the situation he's got himself in. So, yeah, I think he's got to get himself out of a hole here before it's just simply too late. And I just didn't think that, you know, you're faced with rampant inflation, exactly the same as everywhere else. We're no different. Everyone seems to think UK is in some awful state. We're not. We're in probably a better state than Europe is, but that's because of unfortunate things. But nonetheless, the inflation here is bad, as it is elsewhere. We have a potential recession coming, but I think the government is doing just about enough to keep it at zero or maybe a tits above, but not much more. But why are we fiscal tightening? You know, there's time to do that. It is not the right time. Rishi Sunak has and will lose this contest because he's fiscally tightening, the only country in the OECD to do it. Madness.
Yeah, I like the fact that, you know, too much hand-wringing about the UK economy, Marcus, is interesting. But then, is there sort of too much hand-wringing about whether the Bank of England, you know, remains independent? A lot of kind of concerns about what Liz Truss has sort of said.
No one's going to touch the Bank of England independence. They need to change their mandate. It failed us and them appallingly. And it needs to be looked at. And I think I've written several times about, I don't think hard 2% inflation targets does anyone any favours. And I think they need to look at it. I do not suggest, and I don't think they will go down sort of from money supply targets, or even though I like nominal GDP estimates, they've got to be very careful messing with something. But I do think the Bank of England needs to be held to account for the better benefit of all of us, even them, because they could know exactly what it is they have to do and feel more confident in their independence. But, you know, what we have to be careful of throughout the pandemic and various other things of monetary financing, the Bank of England came very close to sailing to the wind of essentially doing exactly the bidding of the government. And that's something which long-term isn't helpful for their own independence.
Therese, of course, the Rishi Sunak and Liz Truss are trying to win over the Conservative Party members. The next challenge will be to win over the rest of the country. Is the country ready to deal with what the reality of this is? High inflation, you know, the realities of high interest rates that will be needed to tackle that?
Yeah, I mean, 2 points here. Just, you know, I couldn't agree more with what Marcus said about the Bank of England's mandate. I mean, yes, the Bank of England can be independent, but its mandate is set by the Treasury. And so, you know, high inflation is political dynamite. And it, I think what will be really important for the next government is to get the Bank of England to explain how it plans to bring inflation down. So, you know, there's a long-standing debate about this. Milton Friedman thought it would be better to slowly squeeze inflation out over time, get back to trend growth. Others said it, you know, hard to do it gradually, and there needs to be a quick return to price stability. That's something that the government, working with the Bank of England, needs to explain. But, you know, in terms of where the UK sits vis-a-vis other countries, it's true inflation, you know, we're seeing it everywhere. The entire, you know, advanced world of advanced economies is teetering on the edge of recession or in recession. The difference, I think, in the UK is that it is impacting those on lower incomes more than there's a bigger divide in terms of the impact of those on lower incomes than in other countries. There's a fascinating chart tweeted out yesterday by, I think, Richard Murphy, showing that the impact in many other advanced countries is much smaller, whereas low income people in the UK are really going to feel it. So are middle income. Have real average disposable incomes remaining about 7% below pre-COVID levels. So that's also going to have a major political impact. And I think, you know, that's where the UK is an outlier.
Bloomberg Daybreak Europe, weekday mornings at 6 a.m. on London DAB Digital Radio and on demand via the Bloomberg Business app and BloombergRadio.com.